and this station.
You. Me?
Yes.
Huh?
You.
What?
You are listening to AM 970 KCMB. Solid State Radio. Root. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Again, how it was in the old days, Uncle Tim.
And my dad would not allow my sister to be married till he was darn good and ready to give permission.
Did the young gentleman caller have to come and court your sister and ask your father's permission?
He courted my sister for like 7 years, sitting with my father watching TV every night
till she was 38.
Mm-hmm.
Now that your daughter's about to enter menopause, can we please maybe just? All right. That's got
to
be fun.
Now, a lot of families still believe in that tradition. My dad told me if anyone ever proposes to me, they need to ask his permission first.
So glad I don't have children. And they have to bring me 3 sheep and the cow and the finest selection of grapes from this year's harvest. All right. It's 1 minute and 48 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of June in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Thank you for coming along. We are live here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com for your communiques of all styles and varieties, shapes, sizes, and fashions. 503-733-2970. You can email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, there we go. I'm sorry, I'm just getting everything locked and loaded and positioned here. But you all know something I don't. You all have got mysterious smiles on your face today.
No,
oh, just happy to be here.
Guys are making eye contact. It's sort of got a private little grin on your face.
No, it's so...
Do I have something on my nose?
No.
You're just a little crazy.
Have I got some schmutz on me? All right.
This has just been a lively place over the past 24 hours.
It really has. Not just the last 24 hours, the last week. It really has been... I don't know whether time has gone more quickly over the last week or whether time has slowed down. But it does seem like we are packing just like an unbelievable amount of living into every single day recently. What, things exploding, catching on fire. Some programs go on the air, some programs don't. Sometimes people are here, sometimes they're not. Sometimes the show makes sense, sometimes it's just rambling gibberish for 180 minutes. These are the best days of our lives, kids. These are golden times. All right, coming up today. And I'm spitting all over my... Oh, please. Why don't you not get up in my face about spitting today? Let me just tell you this.
Yeah.
At random times...
I have phlegm.
Okay, I was going to try to back into that and try to be subtle about it and say use some ladylike term. Because women don't sweat, they glisten. Women don't have any sort of gastrointestinal difficulty. They have...
My grandma calls it fluffing.
Your grandmother calls what fluffing? Let's be clear about this. Well, when she has gastrointestinal difficulties?
Yes.
Oh.
From time to time.
I was going
to
say, perhaps, unless your grandmother's really hard up to pay the rent. In any event, women don't use the bathroom. They powder their noses. So I was going to try to come up with, you've heard that. It's like a Scarlett O'Hara, I had to go powder my nose. In any event, I was going to try to come up with some sort of slang term, some sort of more refined euphemism for you having to hack up phlegm, because it's vile and repellent in every way.
I'm tired
of hiding it.
On this cough. I want it to go away.
Okay. So I came in. This is every time I've walked into the studio
doing it
this morning.
For you.
How many times have I heard that? Baby, this is for us. We're going to be stronger because of it.
Whoa.
His name is Ted. You'll like him, too. I haven't really heard that. No, every time I walk into the studio this morning, and I know that you all have a picture in your head of Sarah being prim and proper and lovely and ladylike.
No, they don't.
No, they do. It's the people view. People have, you know, they know that you are an attractive young woman on the go. Most of the time, that's true. This is not that day. Every time I've walked into the studio today, Sarah is bent over at the waist, and not in any kind of sexy fashion, but in sort of a head-leaning towards the wastebasket kind of fashion, and it's a lot of...
I've decided I am tired of... I'm taking the matter into my own hands today. I'm tired of grossing everybody out around me by coughing, so I'm trying to get rid of the phlegm.
Because that's so much more pleasant.
You know, if I get rid of... I'm not coughing
I'm
right now.
I'm not going to look into the wastebasket.
I didn't
no,
fit
don't
in this
look
wastebasket.
Uh-huh.
It was like, in the bathroom.
It's like that. It's like that one time when I was a kid and I was sitting in my grandfather's easy chair watching a television, and I turned up and I decided to take a long look into the spittoon that he kept on the floor.
Ugh.
That was a mistake. That's a vision that'll stay with you your whole life. Welcome to the lunch hour. It is 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. So it's been a very... It's been an exciting few days here at AM 970. Both on and off the air. That tradition continues today. We've got... See, now I feel like I'm going to sneeze. Right? No. Wait. No. No. All right, so we've got a Cannibal Watch coming up today. Britney Watch. Teacher Watch. Geek Watch. We've got Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. Now, here's the great thing about that today. Is, you know, the last time we did this was for the Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest at Listener Party 9. We had Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. They were written by me, the fake ones anyway, and then they were read by the likes of Mark the Ronk Ronchetti, Tim Riley, myself.
Oh, I missed the Ronk.
It's sad that Mark Ronchetti is not here, but we're going to make up for it with this little gem of a fact. That today's fake metal lyrics are not written by me, nor are they written by Tim or Sarah. Today's fake metal lyrics are written by the one and only Scotty J. And I've seen some advanced handiwork, by the way, and they are fantastic. So later on, we'll be playing Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. We have... tickets to Ozzfest, which is, I think it's like the second stage bands from Ozzfest. I think that's the deal. It's at the Roseland this Friday, and it's early. I don't know. When I was a kid, metal shows had that they had to start after dark when you could be suitably evil. And this starts at 4:45. I don't know. I understand. Were you? If that's just. That's when the alternative school lets out or something? Or
it's suitably evil around the Roseland at 4:45.
Or now.
Yeah.
Is this Ozzfest sponsored by the insecticide?
No, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it's Deep Fest 2006. No, so we've got tickets to that that we'll be giving away. And we'll have more clarifying questions. I don't even need to see the phrase now. Thank you.
I have close friends asking me what the mystery noise is.
Here's the thing about it. The mystery sound has become like our Who Shot JR. It is our Who Shot Mr. Burns.
Who Killed Laura Palmer?
It is our Moldavian Massacre here on the Rick Emerson Show. The mystery sound is... And there are only five people in this world who know. There is Sarah. There is Tim. There is myself. There is Scotty J. And there is Davey from Storm and the Balls. And we only told him because he entrusted us with the secret about Storm Large being on Rockstar. So he knows. I got to assume he's told Storm at this point, too. She's in Los Angeles, though, living in a house with Tommy Lee. Bada-bing. So she's not in a position to reveal it to anybody. So as it continues to divide a nation and drive delivery drivers to drink and drugs, we will continue to talk about the mystery sound today. We'll do some clarifying questions because we're going to reveal it this week. If we don't reveal it this week, we've already made this pact with you, the audience, that... Come hell or high water, as my grandmother would say. Come Friday. If we haven't revealed it, Sarah will blurt it out on the air. Sarah will reveal it on Friday if we have not finished the contest. It's not even a contest at this point. It's just become this thing that we do every day that plagues us, like a bad case of scabies. So, not good. I don't enjoy it. So we'll be doing that, and we'll talk about Superman, which premieres tonight. And I am there. So we'll talk about that as well. Dennis Pitchenbarger is going to be here later on. Lisa Goddard, who I feared was lost to me forever. Lisa Goddard, singer and radio correspondent, will be on later this hour. Next hour, Gary Baumgartner is going to be here. Apparently, Naomi Campbell beat somebody else with a phone. I got to assume it's with something. I got to assume it's a phone.
It's the charges being brought against her about the last time she beat somebody.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, her housekeeper.
It hasn't been a new beating.
Not a new beating.
Okay, well, we'll see. So we'll talk about Naomi Campbell bludgeoning those below her in social status later on. And then coming up, I swear to God, this is what it says on the CNN prep sheet. Right there. CNN Prep Sheet, Jim Roop from Los Angeles will be talking about something. And I'm not even going to tell you the whole story. I will just say this, that it contains the phrase. I swear, this is now, as a news station, we are reading this. Acting in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. I'm now reading this as part of the AM 970 Solid State Radio Noon News Hour. Jim Roop from CNN will be talking about a story that contains the phrase. More sex among fat people. So you have that to look forward to. Also death. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who is coated in a fine sheen of sweat today. How are you?
I'm not sweaty.
Okay. You're glistening. It's not, and you don't have phlegm. You have throat bunnies. Hi.
I never draw attention to when you have sweat glistening in the
I'm room. Sweating right now. Sweat glistening in what?
I am not sweating.
No, you're...
Here, touch
you're
my
sparkly.
Face. I have not...
I don't want to touch your face. I don't want to touch your face.
What?
I'm now touching Sarah's face. It feels a little... You feel a little warm.
I'm warm, but
your
not
forehead
sweaty.
Is a little sweaty.
It's shiny. I did a lot of bike riding this morning.
That's fine.
Thanks, Rick. You painted such a pretty picture of me today. I'm feeling great.
No,
I'm full of phlegm.
You look
sweaty.
Visually pleasing as always. I'm just saying, it's like someone's giving you a good buffing. Like you're...
Well, this weather doesn't exactly allow me to wear makeup.
I can't
wear makeup.
It's not it.
I don't have a car because that drunk bitch ran into it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No, she did it.
We can't be judging jury.
This Tim. This Tim who was all for taking her out and beating her with a mallet last week. Tim Riley, objective newsman, is at the city desk working on the following stories for you today.
Well, by their courthouse square is full of beavers and their admirers as this college team wins a baseball trophy.
No, this is a big thing, though.
It's the 2006 NCAA College World Series.
This is College Baseball World Series, but they haven't won this in like 480 years. I mean, it's not Hoosiers.
Back to the Stone Age.
It's not a Hoosiers. It's a what?
It's a beavers.
No, I'm saying in terms of sports films. Because I really only follow basketball and football sports films.
Oh.
I don't really follow baseball sports films. It's like a
league of their own.
No. Yeah, it's
That's
exactly
a
like
league.
A league of their own.
The natural.
Especially the part when everybody on the team
Major
has sex
league?
With Madonna. Here's Tim Riley working on other stories. Is that it?
No, we have other things here.
All right.
Two MySpace teenage gals rob an older gentleman caller at gunpoint.
Okay.
A tree collapses on the White House lawn in a savage storm and flooding, causing the president to wonder maybe there's something to that Al Gore film after all. The astronauts are warned they have a 1 in 100 chance of getting killed in the upcoming space shuttle launch, but NASA really doesn't care.
Well, on that note, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. And I hate to bring this up, but we are obligated to do it because this is the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Tim Riley, is it going to be hot today?
Not as hot as yesterday, but it's probably still going to be hot where you are.
It's just right here in three square feet. All right. Well, that's it. So I could tease other things, but really, what's the point?
It won't be as bad as yesterday, but still...
Nothing anywhere could be as bad as yesterday.
If you're elderly or if you're a pet, it could be a concern.
You could be. You could cut open my head and fill it with tiny wolverines on PCP, and it wouldn't be as bad as yesterday. Man, you talk about being coated in a sheen of sweat. And I had an air conditioner, and I slept literally 8 inches in front of the air conditioner all night, pointed right at my supine body. And just laying there, trying not to move, trying not to exert any energy at all, trying not to expend any sort of... It was the worst night ever. And then, again, I've talked about this morning, that I can only run the air conditioner in one room at a time, and I don't mean to be lording it over people who don't have air conditioning, but... So I can only run it in one room, because otherwise... Because I'm in Southeast, and they don't care about us in the Southeast. Man doesn't care about us and our power. Tim, dude, Tannis Board probably get all the power you want. You can probably run 50 air conditioners, and a huge screen television, and an Xbox and a freezer, and then be doing some power sawing out back.
I don't have an Xbox.
I'm just saying, theoretically speaking.
Oh.
Anyway. So I wake up this morning, man, it's nice, and of course, the air conditioner's been running all night. It's nice and chilled. Man, and I open that bedroom door, and I walk into the living room, and it's like you're walking into the fiery furnace. It is as though... I was a Bendigo, having been cast in. There's your biblical reference for today. Here's Tim Riley. Thank you.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Well, if you're a Beavers fan or any type of sports fan, you should be at Pioneer Courthouse Square, where a joyous celebration is underway. The 2006 NCAA College World Series champion, OSU Beavers, are back in Portland, and two celebrations are planned. The Oregon State University Department of Athletics invites Beaver Nation, whoever they are, to welcome home the 2006 NCAA Championships and celebrations in Portland and Corvallis today. One is going on right now as we speak at Pioneer Courthouse Square downtown. And then there's going to be another one at 3 at Parker Plaza.
And this is the first time, though, that they've won this in, I know it's been forever. I mean, it's just, does anybody know the actual number of years?
No.
I feel like we're letting the people down here. We're supposed to be local and relatable today.
All right, well, I'll look it up.
Well, it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Many, many years.
In any event. No, but I feel like we got to be talking about it today. Here's why. Because Superman opens today. And I feel it's our chance to do a Superman. If we could do like a third thing that was All-American. Like if we could talk about, if we could find some story about pies made of apple. Or mom. Then we could tie it all together. And it'd be sort of like a hat trick. Well, somebody will tell us. So, in any event. So that's happening. And they're going to be doing a whole, look at that. The words have barely left my mouth, and there's somebody on the phone. This is what I call distributed computing power. We are now taking the aggregated power of the Rick Emerson audience, and we are bringing it to bear. Look at that. Look at those phone lines lighting up. And I bet you at least one of these calls will not be about the mystery sound. Scotty, so you just route through. Should I just... Okay. Oh, is it the first time? I thought they won like 140 years ago.
No.
Ryan, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, it's the first time the Beavers have ever won it.
So it's not. So somebody told me, though, that literally like in 1512 or something they won, but they remember. So this is actually the first. So this is sort of like the Seahawks finally winning something.
Yesterday, going into Game 3, it would have been a first-time winner for North Carolina or the Beavers, either way.
All right, so but we don't care about North Carolina because they're way over there, and they're different than us. So we don't care. They have strange customs, so we don't care about them. So this is the first time ever. So this is, I mean, and you know, everybody knows now, like, I'm the biggest sports fan in the world. Basically, if it doesn't involve two guys in a ring either wrestling each other to the ground or punching one another in the teeth, I don't care about it a whole lot. I'm kind of a boxing and wrestling only kind of guy. But this is, but you kind of got to give it up for that because it is a star, as we head towards the 4th of July, it is a star-spangled and all-American way to celebrate the Declaration of Our Independence by being victorious in the most American of sports.
So they beat the Russians? Is that what we're saying?
Yes. The Giants were independent.
I'm even rooting for them, and I'm a duck.
Yeah, see, now, and I know that somewhere, I know that Matt Peterson is weeping silently into some sort of a large beverage. And you know it was big. I mean, even I knew it was big news. And I'm me. I'm a nitwit. Because I pick up the paper today, and it's literally in, like, giant 80-point Kennedy shot-esque type on the front page of the Oregonian. So this is the first time ever. And it was, now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was like a last-minute victory. Like, it literally came, like, right at the end of the game.
The guy for North Carolina fielded the ball at second base.
An error.
Overthrew it into the dugout, and that's how Oregon State won.
See, how badly do you think that guy feels?
Oh, man.
So is your pacemaker going off?
Should kill himself.
Not.
That's my pickup truck.
Fantastic. So you believe that the person on the other team should in fact engage in an act of ritual self-sacrifice to atone for this? I mean, you.
Because if he doesn't, the other players on his team should.
Sir, that would be okay. That is Ryan making that observation. We value all human life, more or less, on the Rick Emerson Show. But you know, that ought to be a documentary. I would watch that documentary if they just tracked down. Not the guys who got the final basket, not the guys who made the final save, not
where
the guy
10 years from now.
Siri, I want a documentary that just focuses on like that guy that tipped the ball, you know, for the Cubs or whatever it was a couple years ago.
Bartman.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody knows those guys. You know, that guy, you know, you always see, like, you know, during NFL games, you always do those, you know, fantastic moments in NFL history, and it's the guy who grabs the ball and runs the wrong way for a touchdown into the opposite end zone. I want a documentary on those guys to see what kind of drinking habit and social life they have about 15 years in the future. You know what I mean?
Raging alcoholics.
That's what I'm talking about. Ryan, are you spreading the word about this program?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, sir. When is the last time you spread the word about the Rick Emerson Show?
Probably a couple days ago, I tried to call in there, and me and my buddies are always talking about it.
Fantastic. What are you a delivery driver? What do you do?
I am a delivery driver.
Of course. We need a sound effect. Scotty J, this is I'm going to assign this to you because
I can't
get a
whistle.
We thought about that. We thought about doing a truck. What you just drive like a pickup truck?
Yeah.
What sort of thing do you deliver, sir?
Like semi truck parts.
All right, so then that might actually work. All right, well, you spread the word, and you I thank you for listening, and you call us anytime, Ryan.
Stand for it.
All right, thank you. There you go. Excellent. I used to know CB lingo as a child. I don't anymore. All I know is 10-4.
I thought you had a book on it.
No, I mean, I'm sure a couple does. It's again, call it a guess. There's a morning show in the building. If there's a morning show in the building, you know that somewhere there's a book of CB lingo. It's a rule. The only thing I know is, what's your 20, and...
What about Smokey the Bear?
I was saying, and Smokey's watching the double nickel. That's all I've got. I've got nothing. So, Scotty J, it is a note to you. Here is your new assignment. You must now be creating a sound effect for our delivery driver friends. If a guy's a little... Because we've tried for years. I know that 10-4 means okay. It's typing. I don't need back sass over the call screening equipment. So, no, but at some point, we'll need to get a sound effect for delivery guys, because they're like 85% of the people.
Here's Tim Riley.
So, go down and see these beavers.
Don't riot. Don't. See? But, you know, I bet it'll be peaceful. I bet there'll
well,
be. Nary a single car will be overturned.
No.
Because we are a life-embracing people here in the Northwest. Did you see that thing in England about how soccer hooligans are going to have to register?
Yeah, that's good.
No,
like sex offenders.
Yes, exactly.
Well, they're pretty close to that anyway.
Man, those guys, they're crazy.
Yeah.
I know that I'm doing another like, ooh, those zany soccer fans. But seriously, it's not like, ooh, those kooky soccer fans. It's like, hide your children and get a gun because, like, the Manchester United fans are coming down. And then they had that...
It's because Thatcher took away their milk as children in school.
Orphans and children. What was I saying? But you know that picture was that Nike ad. It wasn't Beckham. It was that guy. That other soccer player. But they had that ad of him where he's like in the Christ pose, covered in like red blood.
Oh yeah,
that was fantastic.
It was.
But in Britain they did that thing where literally like as the World Cup was ramping up, there was some government order like you had to round up all the soccer hooligans and like put them in a work camp or something somewhere. Which is fantastic. Wouldn't you love to be on record as being a hooligan of some kind? Like it was like Sarah Dillon, known hooligan, you know?
That would be awesome.
It would be badass. I would demand that be put on my driver's license.
Why don't you just put it on your MySpace page? Nobody will know the difference.
Rick Emerson, known chess hooligan, or something. It's a genius. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So that's that. So go down and see the Beavers.
Don't riot.
Yeah, I was wondering, the other school is the University of... And they are the Ducks, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, how come they don't have a duck on their logo anymore at all? There's no duck to be seen.
That was probably re-imaging.
Yes.
I mean, can't anyone just draw a duck to make it look...
I suppose. Well, you know, the Mighty Ducks are no longer the Mighty Ducks. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks, they've actually dropped that now as of last week, which is too bad. That was actually one of the only hockey teams I really knew about because they're called the Mighty Ducks. It's like the Santa Cruz Fighting Banana Slugs, who I think actually also... It's a bad year for mascots. I realize we're now doing sports talk, but what are you going to do? Banana Slugs.
Santa Cruz... Alan, you shouldn't have fired us. You should have put us on the fence.
Yeah. Yes, that would have hurt them really well. Maybe they need sports talk in... Where? I'm sorry. Kansas City.
Yeah, it's a big sports town.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Kansas City Mule Skinners or whatever they are.
The butter churners.
The teeth pickers.
Life haters. zing. The Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz always had the banana slugs, which everybody laughs at. They think it's true, but you've seen the logo. It's like a banana slug. But I heard that they changed it this year, which is too bad if that's true, because that was the greatest mascot ever, a banana slug. It's fantastic. So that and then the Mighty Ducks, I think they are actually now just the Ducks, because I think they ended their partnership with Disney. So, Well, all right. Should we break here? All right, because we got Lisa Goddard coming up. Now, this is...
Don't want to make her wait, Rick.
Okay, now...
Stay tuned, sports fans. There's more coming.
Yes. Yes.
We have to call her... We need some sports names.
I think... Well, Dennis is going to be in later. He'll know more about this, too. You know, we should be the banana slug now that Santa Cruz is not using it anymore. AM 970, banana slug. And then he'd have a guitar and some sunglasses, and we'd be edgy. And stuff. All right. You stay there. Let's forget this whole thing happened. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this. Here's Motorhead.
If you would like to advertise on AM 970, contact the lovely Lisa Gerard at 503-222-1011. Buy our station or die. This is AM 970. Solid State Radio.
This hour of the Rick Emerson Show brought to you by CD Game Exchange with five locations in Portland. They buy, they sell, they trade. CD Game Exchange.
At Taco Time Restaurants, we're so excited about adding mango peach salsa to our famous crispy chicken ranchero. We'd like to give you a taste of it right now. Unfortunately, this is radio and you can't taste radio. But we can let you hear what this flavorful, tart, sweet and tangy new entree sounds like to your taste buds. It goes a little something like this. The first thing your tongue hears is the syncopated rhythm of fresh cabbage blend with cheddar cheese and a blast of ranch dressing. As your taste buds listen to the crispy strips of tender chicken, they hear a melody of stringed instruments. Finally, the crescendo of sweet and tangy mango peach salsa strikes a keynote of flavor on your palate. It all comes together for that big band sound in your mouth. The new Mango Ranchero. It's music to your tongue. It's Taco Time.
You're listening to AM 970.
Whatever.
Let me tell you why I love Portland. Like quarter to midnight, I'm sitting around with some friends. You know, we're talking about anything other than we're talking about Star Wars, we're talking about Star Trek, we're gonna be tossing some dice later. Tossing back some brews. And as a matter of how late it gets in Portland, Oregon, I can still go get myself a friggin' beer, a comic book, a plate of JoJo.
Yeah,
my name is Aaron, and I live in Portland, goddamn motherfucking Oregon.
This is AM 970, Solid State Radio. People talk about sliced bread like it's the defining innovation of our species. But you know, if there wasn't a thick, juicy burger between the bread, there wouldn't be much to brag about. Maybe the credit should go to the inventor of ground beef. Best thing since ground beef. Yeah, has a nice ring to it. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Funded by America's beef producers with Chekhov dollars.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I do not want my kids to smoke.
Last night, Sarah went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
I knew I needed a few tips on what to say and how to say it if my message was going to sink in.
If you're a parent who'd like help starting the conversation with your kids about not smoking and handling peer pressure, expert advice and information is available online. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
9-11 emergency. How can I help you?
It's my husband. He's not responding.
Okay, well, is he breathing?
Yes, but not heavy. And all he wants to do in bed is sleep.
Okay, now calm down, miss. Have you tried reviving the romance?
I don't know how. Oh, no. I think our love life just flatlined.
Okay, now listen closely. What you need to do is get in your car and drive immediately to the nearest Castle Megastore.
Castle Megastore? Are you sure?
Yes. All castles are jam-packed with this month's newest DVD releases, today's hottest lingerie, naughty adult toys, plus every sensual book, magazine, lube, or lotion imaginable. Castle's the only place to go to get those heartstrings thumping and your love life jumping.
Castle Megastore, the biggest adult retailer in the kingdom, is located at 9815 Southwest Capitol Highway. Open Sunday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. Friday through Sunday, open 24 hours for your shopping pleasure.
Featuring the best in naughty goodies with today's hottest stars, it's no wonder.
Castle Megastore is the ruler of adult fun.
You already know that Star builds cruisers motorcycles that take customization to a whole new level, but we'll bet you didn't know that right now you can make a head-turning V-Star your own for as little as $69 a month at Cycle Sports of Salem. Walk in and ride out on a long and low V-Star custom, the V-Star Silverado complete with saddlebags and windshield, or any one of the other famous V-Stars. They shake up the status quo and say loud and clear that you live life by your own rules. The first rule, I want a new Star. So get down to Cycle Sports of Salem today and ride home in the saddle of a V-Star cruiser for as little as $69 a month. Hurry, you've got to make one your own soon to take advantage of this great offer. Star Motorcycles, they build it, you make it your own. Cycle Sports of Salem is your Star Cruiser headquarters, located on Portland Road just east of I-5. Or you can check them out on the web at cyclesports.net.
On the Yamaha card, subject to credit approval. 283106 on selecting 2006 or new prior year Star Motorcycles. $69 monthly payment and 8.9% APR for 24 months. For amounts financed to pay $500 if account kept current. Thereafter, standard rate of up to 22.99% APR. Default rate 24.99%. Minimum finance charge $1.
It happens gradually. Sun gives way to stars and moon. The day slips into something more comfortable. And there, in the warm twilight glow, life becomes simple once again. Now is the time for Bella Zeta Merlot from Italy. Soft, smooth, rich. It's going to be a beautiful evening. Or as they say in Italian, it's going to be a Bella Sera. Imported by Bella Sera USA, Hayward, California.
Geico.com. It's easy to use, there's no middleman, and it could save you hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. What else do you need to know? Oh, there is one more thing. They also have the Gecko.
Live from Portland, the Rick Emerson Show continues.
Now, if you're ready, we will begin.
AM 970, Solid State Radio.
And we're all deaf. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard, joining us now. Lisa, how are you?
I am doing well, Rick. How are you?
I am rolling along, sister. Big, are you doing that you're doing the shuttle launch? Is that today?
Believe it or not, no, that's on Saturday.
A Saturday, all right. So when you're covering that, is it literally, do you go stand there and watch it blast off at, right there at Kennedy Space Center?
Yeah, I'm going to light the fuse. There's an actual fuse, and I get a match.
Is it?
Told.
I mean, I don't mean to dwell on morbidity, but is it true that they are actually being told that the astronauts are being told that they have a 1 in 100 chance of dying?
I have not heard that. I can check that out, but I had not heard that.
Okay, this is actually from, I'm just reading, I was just handed to me. This is actually from NASA, courtesy of CNN.com.
Oh, well, that's a reliable source right there. Well,
I would like to think. It's strange that they would actually publicize. That's a thing I'd put at the end of the article if I were them.
Right, right. Well, no, I trust CNN.com. I'll go with that. You know, right, it's a tricky week for me because I've got the shuttle launch at the end of the week. Right now, I'm knee-deep in all these nutty congressmen. So I've got a lot of knowledge on the shuttle launch. The 1 in 100 death probability, I was not up on.
I am knee-deep in nutty congressmen.
Yes.
That's true. I'm going to put that on a T-shirt.
And I'm wearing heels, so you can imagine.
So there's even more congress. It takes more than normal to be knee-deep.
That's right.
All right, so I know you're kind of under the gun here today, but real quickly, let's talk about this so-called drawdown in Iraq. And two things. Is drawdown just sort of a political code word for getting out? And B, what are we to make it? I mean, is this sort of a recognition of the fact that, despite the fact that we're not, quote, going to cut and run, that they know they can't sustain American support if we stay there?
It seems like a couple of things are happening at once here. I think drawdown is political code for, we know the American public is unhappy and we are going to give some indication that we're moving out of Iraq, but we're not leaving altogether. If you can hyphenate that whole sentence, that's what drawdown means.
All right.
Essentially, they're not guaranteeing anything. They're admitting that there is a plan to pull out 7,000 troops by September and more than 30,000 by the end of next year. We've talked a lot about that September date on this show. No surprise to you that there would be that plan ahead of the November elections. But that's just one plan, and the president is not saying that this is the plan they'll go with. He's saying General Casey, the commander in Iraq, is the one who will choose what will happen. But you're right. This shows really how unpopular the war is and that the administration is under pressure, as we saw last week, to do something tangible.
Real quickly, so there's 30,000 by the end of 2007. How many troops are there currently total there?
I believe we have about 127,000, 130,000 American troops in Iraq right now. it's a huge number. It goes up and down regularly, but right around 120, 130,000.
All right. Well, we will let you get back to covering the news as only you can. So we will talk to you at some point in the near future. And if we don't speak to you before this weekend, have fun at the shuttle launch. That's
hey, yeah, I'll be
that's
there
cool stuff.
I'll talk to you then.
All right. Talk to you, Lisa.
Bye.
Thank you. All right, you go. That's Lisa Goddard. All right. I'm sure it was someone like satellite phone or something. There was a whole lot of like Darth Vader noise going on in the background there.
Sound a little crazy.
Maybe she's just trying to get out to talk to me. Maybe she's just,
no,
maybe
we only had her for 5 minutes. She had another live shot.
All right, so it's not me, it's her?
It wasn't you.
Just making sure. I don't want to think that I've displeased her in some way. Because then we'll never get that photo of her in the Mathlete shirt. Zing. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
I do have to correct a caller that Oregon State's first NCAA team championship was a cross-country title in 1961.
But this is but not for baseball, though.
No.
That's like, so the school has won something.
The school has won something.
That's like one of those schools where, like, you can't, like, you know, like, you can win in, like, the Algebra B or something, but, like, you can never actually win in a sport.
Correct.
All right. All right, so there you go.
There are thousands of people at Pioneer Courthouse Square as we speak.
No, there could be violence at any moment. And we'll be there to cover it if it happens. All right, so there you go. It's great, but it is also kind of sad. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish the victory. All I'm saying is, you know, it's just one of those things. We do live in the Northwest.
Let them have their moment.
No, I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just saying it is sad in the Northwest that professional sports teams can't seem to win much or anything ever in any way. I mean the Seahawks. I mean almost, and then you know, Blazers almost. Although Blazers didn't win, was 72, and the Blazers won because Greg Smith was on that team, a guy who used to be a salesperson for the show. Well, in any event, we'll move on. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, more than a foot of rain washed out highways around the nation's capital, topping a 100-year-old elm tree on the White House lawn and causing flooding, closing government buildings. Well, President Bush says, I guess it's time to worry about global warming, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry, sister. And then with the whole...
Global warming is a serious problem. There's a debate over where it's man-made or naturally caused. We ought to get beyond that debate and start implementing the technologies necessary to enable us to achieve a couple of big objectives.
What?
Maybe you saw the movie.
I don't understand. First of all, well, okay, let's hear this
Global
again.
Warming is a serious problem.
Okay, when did that happen? Was I asleep? Did I suddenly Van Winkle myself? Did I fall asleep for 30 years and I came back and suddenly now?
Well, this is drawdown time for global warming.
Apparently so. All right. So I guess last week, I think it wasn't a problem. I guess now it is. Maybe it's man-made. Maybe it's not. It is. And I guess we're going to do something.
Global warming is a serious problem. There's a debate over where it's man-made or naturally caused. We ought to get beyond that debate and start implementing the technologies necessary to enable us to achieve a couple of big objectives.
We ought to get beyond that debate, which I will almost certainly lose because my party is ignorant and ill-informed, and move on to something else. And what does he mean, move on to the solutions? Let me be very clear about this, by the way. That I don't care about global warming at all. I don't care about it. It doesn't affect me. I mean, and you saw the Al Gore film. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm sure it's real. It's got to be terrible for somebody, just not me.
Yeah.
So I don't care. But, you know, it'll be terrible for polar bears in the future, I guess. Polar bears, by the way, you can tell that this is, they finally latched onto something. They found the shrewd marketing campaign. The marketing campaign, and I'm not trying to be cynical about it. I'm just saying you've got to make the American people care. The American people are deeply stupid. And so, really, the best...
Well, so are most voters.
I'm just... we're not living in an especially enlightened planet in many ways. Just a quick glance at, like, the Nielsen Top 10 will tell you that. So, I'm just saying. But I think the people who are trying, you know, the sort of global warming scare guys, and I don't mean to say that it's not real, but I'm saying that, you know, some people don't care about it and some people do. The Al Gore types who are really worried about global warming, they have discovered what FM rock stations have known for a long time, that you gotta have a kooky animal mascot to make people care about whatever it is you're pitching. And so they, though, have latched onto the polar bear. And they're using all these shots of, like, sad polar bear sitting on an ice floe, having to eat his mom, because there's no ducks or whales or whatever it is that they eat. Seals. Anyway, that's clearly what they're doing. But I have not seen the Al Gore movie. I probably will at some point, but it's like the Al Gore thing, that it's called Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah.
And you felt it was a good film.
I thought it was. A bit highbrow for the average American.
Now, I heard that Al Gore came off as warm and approachable.
Not really.
Okay, well, never mind. I heard from Flax shoving his 2008 run down my throat.
I would say he is factual.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm not... I don't dislike Al Gore. I just... my only point was going to be that I heard that he came off as a lot more personable than he did in either presidential race.
Personable for Al Gore, but personable on a human scale is something entirely different.
Personable for a T-1000.
Yes.
I don't dislike Al Gore. He seems like a really smart guy.
Very smart.
But like many smart guys, engineers everywhere, he has difficulty relating to humans on any like real normal level.
Well, smart people can't get elected because their explanations go over one sentence.
Because they don't include the phrase values.
Or freedom.
Yeah.
Or flag.
Or politically incorrect.
9-11, 9-11, 9-11, 9-11.
As Merle Haggard would say. We should just develop a 9-11 sounder that we play whenever we start to offend somebody. And whenever somebody gets angry, we can just play like a 9-11 thing. And then they'll instantly have to love us.
Mm-hmm.
What's my point? Oh, I don't really care about global warming.
Okay.
But
that's been established.
But by the same token, it doesn't seem like it's really all that difficult. I mean, the answer is... How do I put this? It's not easy, but it is simple. It does seem like the answer is to just use fewer petroleum products and not be spewing noxious, exhaust into the air. It's like exercising and losing weight. It's not easy, but it is simple. You don't need like a 300-page diet book.
But it isn't working. Take a look around you when you're on the street.
Well, no, but as I'm saying, it's simple. They're just opting not to do it.
The only thin people are on commercials on TV over and over again, the same ones.
It's true. Man, did you ever do this? Did you ever go to the food court? And you look around, and you start, and you feel so much better about yourself instantly. Really, let me encourage you now.
Many of those parents should be arrested for child abuse, because you get these tubby kids.
Lots of little bastards, corpulent little balls of flab rolling around in their SpongeBob shirts. I mean, kids that you could be rolling down the street with a stick. I mean, it really is. I would encourage you now, if you're feeling bad about yourself, maybe you got some sort of a self-image problem, you're feeling that you're, perhaps not taking a good care. And I know that by dint of being in our audience, you are more likely to be in shape and to be intelligent than, for instance, if you listen to Charlie. In which case, you're probably, you're probably huge. There's just no way to get around that. You are probably massive.
I'm huge.
Thank you. So, but I would encourage you the next time maybe you're feeling not so good about yourself, do you ever catch sight of yourself in a mirror when you're coming out of the shower? And you've been feeling good about yourself, and then, like, it's just the wrong angle as you walk by the full-length mirror, and you're like, oh, God, I have to go purge! I would encourage you instead to go to the Lloyd Center food court and just spend about 12 minutes walking. You will go home and have a case of Dove bars, because you'll realize how far there is between you and the average overweight Oregonian. I'm just saying. This email says, Rick, it is a bit creepy, don't you think, that you have a special love for Lisa Goddard, and yet when you bring her on the program, you invariably address her as sister. That's just a little weird. I'm just saying, says Richard. Rick, Lisa Goddard is a tease. She did, of course, have to drop the fact. Did you notice this? What special fact did Lisa Goddard make sure to drop in during the show today?
I don't know.
Okay, she did have to drop the fact that she's, quote, in heels today. I noticed that. I picked right up on that.
Come on.
I know.
That doesn't mean anything.
Okay, whatever you say. I had made the observation that, because she said, what did she say? I'm knee-deep in nutty congressman. Which is a funny phrase anyway. And I said, blah, 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 knee-deep in nutty. And she said, and I'm wearing heels. And then she didn't follow it up with anything. She just said that, like, as a standalone
phrase.
Well,
she's probably in pain. Like, she's probably distracted by the fact that she's walking around in heels while being surrounded by a bunch of nitwits.
I'm not saying that it,
I think you are saying that you think she's dressing up special for you.
That would be crazy. Play Misty for me territory then.
All right, that wouldn't be crazy, but you're thinking...
Did you
wear
that poodle skirt like I told you?
I'm saying, are you not implying that she mentioned the heels because you think she's trying to be alluring?
I'm not saying she put on the heels for me.
No, mentioned...
I'm being very... But I'm going to draw a distinction. Be very clear about this.
Puts them in her Louis Vuitton purse after a certain period of time.
Maybe. In no way am I implying that CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who is a professional... gets out of bed in the morning and dresses up specifically for me, Rick Emerson, because that would make me a crazy person and also a little creepy. I was only speculating that when, apropos of nothing, which it really was, when a woman makes the observation to you in a phone call that da-da-da-da, and I'm wearing heels today.
No, that is not true. Sometimes when something is bothering you, like, for example, remember, like your bra straps are cutting into your shoulders or something.
Did that happen?
Like, yeah, that happened.
I thought, why don't you... Okay.
Because you sometimes they're too thin. So anyway, I mean, sometimes you make observations about things that are bothering you that might seem overtly sexual to the person who's listening. Really, she's just probably uncomfortable.
She wouldn't. It doesn't sound like she was complaining, though.
Well, she's like, and I'm in heels, too, so she said she was standing around all morning. She's probably uncomfortable.
I didn't bring up her being uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying. Why would she bring...
She's probably trying to be human to you. Like saying
human. Okay. Well, let's...
frustrating.
I'm just... Look, and you know me. I'm not trying to make a something out of nothing.
Yes, you are.
I'm just saying I noticed it. And what are you laughing at, pal? This is Ray. Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Yes, Ray.
No, it's heels. Don't you get it? She's got like 2 extra inches of congressional BS before her knees are covered. It's not you, it's the congressman. There's less congressional BS at her knees because she's 2 inches taller.
Why you got to be a buzzkill like that?
I'm sorry, I just had to.
Why you got to be a killjoy?
I'm an engineer, come on.
Where are you an engineer, sir?
I pull on GAD Media.
Ah, excellent. All right, well, are you spreading the word, Ray?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
In fact, we work with Clyde. We love him.
All right. Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry about that. Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for shattering my illusions today. Thank you.
Well, but she still might have a thing for you, Rick.
Well, I'm not saying it's not true. All right, thank you, Rick.
No, I wouldn't.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Fun.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. Well, in any event, let's see. We'll do these two calls here. Dante, the cab driver, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good, man, aside from being just 2 miles south of Dilley, Oregon.
Of where?
Dilly.
Where is
Dilly?
Oh, where? Like a Dilly bar from the
yeah,
DQ?
Yeah, man.
What's
a little wide spot in the road?
All right.
But
what's up?
I have to say to Mr. Tim Riley, you have to be a little bit more careful when you read the stories, because I had about an hour and a half argument with my girlfriend last night over whether it was Warren Buffett who had donated all his money to charity or whether it was Jimmy Buffett, as my girlfriend heard you say. And she's standing there arguing with me, and finally I had to say, all right, I'll bet you half of Jimmy Buffett's net worth to whether it was Warren.
Why would Jimmy Buffett be giving away his money?
He may be a generous fellow.
Because Tim Riley said it.
Tim did not say Jimmy Buffett.
He did. He did yesterday in the news hour.
I think I would have...
He was calling our mayor Harry Potter and we didn't even notice.
Okay, but that's because I don't know anything about politics. I know my pop culture reference. I think if he had said Jimmy Buffett, we might have noticed that.
Well, yeah, with everything else that you notice that Tim says. But the fact of the matter is that my girlfriend is a journalist. She's got a bachelor's degree in media, and
who doesn't?
Everything that Tim Riley says as gospel because of his voice. He has such gravitas that he can say anything, and she'll just take his word for it. So 2 hours later, I'm still arguing about it was Warren Buffett.
Okay.
I haven't had an argument over this.
Where is your girlfriend a journalist at?
Actually, she graduated from St. Kate in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And she works. She's currently writing software manuals for a company out in Hillsboro. But the thing that I'm trying to say here is, I haven't had an argument like this with her since.
Have we ruined your life or something? It sounds like you're really quite excited you're really quite worked up about this.
You know, I just need Tim to say that it was Warren Buffett and not Jimmy Buffett.
He never said it was Jimmy Buffett. Okay, what is your girlfriend's name?
Her name is Sarah.
Can you have her call us?
I will give it a shot.
Okay.
We'll do my best.
Well, No, try not. Do or do not.
Have her call.
Have her call in, and we will set her straight, Dante.
You know, you set her straight on Jimmy Buffett, Warren Buffett. You set her straight on the Christmas pickle. We'll be just fine.
Moving on now. All right, thank you. Have her call us, sir.
I will.
All
thank
right, there you.
You
go. Christmas.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I got something. Let's see. Frank, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to let you know a little bit of why the game is so momentous that the Beavers won. It's almost the second
championship the state of Oregon has ever had in the NCAA.
Oh, in any sport?
In any sport.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
It's a pretty big deal, and that's why. And then, of course, you guys already mentioned the other one, the track and field. So.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Frank.
There you have it,
Frank. All right, there you go. We're losing Frank. There you go.
Well, we need a ticker tape parade or something.
Seriously. What do they do? You know,
give them a key to the city.
What is the key to the city open? I'm not trying to be flip like a kooky DJ. I'm not saying it actively opens anything, but I'm saying, does the key to the city actually give you, is there something that comes with that? Like you get a free refill on something? Does it?
I don't know.
Maybe Starbucks at Pioneer Courthouse.
I'm not suggesting, I mean, I know it's not a real key. Don't call up and be a wiseacre.
We don't even know if they have them anymore.
When is the last time?
I've never been given the key to the city.
I was going
to
say, has anybody ever actually seen that happen? Is that a thing that only happens in films and like old 50s newsreels? Does anybody actually get a key to the city? Does the key to the city, I'm curious, this is one of those things I've always wondered about. I know that it's not a real key, but I'm saying even symbolically, does the key to the city, get like free parking?
Remember when Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes went to Aberdeen? They got a key of the city.
Oh, wait, I do. But what's it going to, Aberdeen, what is it going to give you?
I don't know.
A free gun.
But that's recent and it's close. You should find out.
All right.
Scotty J.
Scotty, call somebody. Call Aberdeen.
Who would you call if you wanted the key to the city of Otis?
I think, because it's going to be Emersonian one of these. Oh, we don't have time to do it now, so do you remember, I did this film a couple years ago called Remote Control.
I do.
Tim Riley was in it. So was Sarah.
I was the continuity director.
You're also a voiceover actor in that film.
I might have been.
You do.
I was the person who made sure that the clock was in the same position because we had to do your takes like
because we were
time.
Taping it at the lesbian house. We were taping this one scene. There was this. We borrowed this house.
Was this the woman Clyde kept eating cake?
No, pie.
Well, I think the time was 9:30. And by the time we got it down, it was actually 11:30, so we had to make sure we turned
the clock
back.
Were you at the diner or were you at the house when we filmed that?
I was both.
Okay, so yeah, there's two different things we're talking about here. So but never mind. I don't want to talk about the lesbian house. Anyway, we borrowed it. In the movie,
was that when we almost burned the couch down?
Shh. No.
Oh.
Ixnay.
It wasn't us, actually.
Abort! No, it was somebody else. No,
look at the back of the couch. Shh.
Anyway, no.
Was that a different movie?
Quiet! I don't know anything. No, there's a couple different scenes. One of the scenes took place at a house, and I played a presumably single man.
But and the kitchen was so neat.
Yeah, the only location we could get, though, God bless him, was a house owned by a lesbian couple that we sort of knew. And it's like and these are not like aluminum siding selling lesbians. These are like, these are white-collar clerical lesbians. And so the house is just gorgeous. Everything is like soft blonde and teak wood. You know, the kitchen is flawless. Everything is earth tones. And then there's a huge DVD collection with nothing but Xena and Buffy box sets. And this is, so if you're watching the movie, I'm presumably like,
contemplating his own death, but the kitchen is immaculate.
But the kitchen, yes.
So you won't leave a mess.
It's a fantastic pasta machine that's polished to a high shine in the corner. And then there's the diner where Clyde kept screwing up his takes intentionally so he could eat more pie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Clyde's one line. Freaks and geeks. And he would just like keep messing it up so he could eat more pie. What was my point? Oh, but so Clyde, Tim is a voiceover actor at the end, and so is Sarah. Sarah does some voiceover work at the end. My point, though, is if you have seen the movie Remote Control, which I don't even know we're selling it anymore, we sold it, and, some people have seen it. But there's this guy named Gray Eubanks. Yeah, he played Warren Peterson, the head of the network, in this boardroom scene, which I'm really proud of, and he was a great actor. Anyway, so he's talking to Joni DeRoshi the other day, the director, and, she was emailing him about something or other, some film she's doing, and he's like, well, my family and I, we're relocated to the coast. And she's like, where have you moved to? I swear to God, what are the odds of this? It's like, this is like the odds of me finding the Green Apron book, laying on the ground. Gray, who starred in this film I did, Remote Control.
And who used to do mornings on public radio here.
Yeah, and who we kind of know, because he's a radio guy, is moving to Otis. I mean, what are the odds of that? The population's going to be 3 now. So there you go. Otis. The cost of the town is going to skyrocket. Because the population... Otis, a town on the move. So, I mean, literally, the population has just grown by, 100%? No, 50%. If there's 2 and then there's 3, is that by 50 or 100?
A third.
Sarah?
I failed math 101.
If there are 3 people and you add another one, then that's 1/3.
No, but if there are 2 and you add...
Then
it becomes 3.
That increases it half of it. Yeah, so there... So it increases the population that it was by half.
So it's, so you're increasing it by 50%. It can't be by a third and it's not a third because we're starting with two people. If there's two people in Otis,
look, yeah,
if a train leaves Chicago going 100 miles an hour.
Well, I'm going to go help Jimmy Buffett account for all the money that he's donating to charity.
Okay. Well, we got a little bit here, so a couple minutes. So here's what's coming up, and then we'll do a couple more, and then we'll break. Please don't call about the math. It's not important. It doesn't matter.
Kind of is. I want to know.
Okay, if a town has two, we're now doing story problems. This is the way to get a 12.
It's increased by 50%.
If that's what I'm saying, it's not
I've been like pictures in my head. I'm like two apples.
If a town has two residents, and then someone else moves there, the town's population has increased by 50%. So I would think, but Tim keeps saying a third, which makes no sense.
Because he's taking it out of the total.
I don't know! All right. So we'll get a call. Well, somebody
what will the headline say about the growth of this town in the Otis Bugle?
Otis experiences. Then that drunken woman from the Lincoln City Picayune or whatever it was, who kept, like, shooting us leering glances, by the way. Mm-hmm. She was a little drunk. The woman, I don't remember her name, so I can't mention her. But Sarah's going to go spit more phlegm, aren't you? Going to get that sloshy mouth look.
I didn't do it in there.
All right. Yeah, so we're at Rickles, and there's this woman who's well into her cups, as they used to say. And I don't even remember who she was, but she publishes, like, the Lincoln City Picayune. And she kept looking over and just being like, so what's your name? And she was, like, 80 and made of leather. And she kept wanting to be the friend of somebody. Didn't care who, probably. All right. So here's what's coming up, by the way. We'll be taking clarifying questions about the mystery sound. Susan Reynolds, by the way, from CBS Radio Portland Marketing, keeps asking me what the mystery sound is. She's not trying to bribe me. She's trying to bribe me with goods and serve. Attention, human resources. Susan Reynolds is trying to bribe me with goods and services. So, there you go. Mystery sound. We'll take clarifying questions about that. Gary Baumgarten's coming up. We're talking about Naomi Campbell beating someone senseless. And I think it's an immigrant maid. Top five hot songs. Tim is now leaving the room, so I guess we're done. news that hurts later. We'll play the song about chicks who cut themselves. What else? Oh, man, we're breaking. We come back. We'll talk about math. Woo! This is radio that's math appeal. Math appeal. See, it's like a... All right. Okay. You stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Stay there. Now, I can't even hit post on my own music anymore. We'll return to AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Emerson, live from Portland, only on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
That's Faith No More. It's from the album The Real Thing, one of the definitive albums in the last 30 years or so. And Faith No More, they never get the credit they deserve. They sort of created, they didn't create the rap rock thing as such. I mean, there was Run DMC and Aerosmith, but they created that funk, metal, rap, rock hybrid. Like, you think, without Faith No More, there's no Korn, there's no For Good or Bad, no Rage Against the Machine, no Limp Bizkit. You know, even the Red Hot Chili Peppers really took a lot from Faith No More. So, and Mike Patton is sort of the original man of a thousand voices. I dig that guy. Hey, watch the segue. One of the classic albums. Maybe you'd like to take a shot at creating a classic album of your own. You and or your band. Let me tell you about Super Digital. Now, I'm going to give you this number up top, and here's the thing. Here's why, because I'm going to give you the number. Because if I don't, it's like I'm going to tell you all this, but I'm going to give you the number at the end. You're going to forget about it. You're going to be like, I'll call later. And if you're in a band, the odds are like 1 in 3 that you're intoxicated right now. You're never going to remember. You're not going to be able to write it down. There'll be some childlike scrawl. You won't even be able to decipher it. So write this down now. I'll go slowly. 503-228-2222. That's the number for Super Digital. You call those guys, talk to them about their starving musician special, first of all. You tell them you heard it on the Rick Emerson Show. You can get 1,000 ready-to-sell CDs, 1,000 retail-ready CDs for only $11.49. It's like $1.15 each. I mean, that's ready-to-sell, baby. They do, of course, a full-service recording, and they do mixing, they do mastering, they got all the Pro Tools, all the plugins, and of course, if you want to do it yourself, they can sell you the gear, too. And they got all that recording gear. They get the Pro Tools, the Mackie, Shure, Sennheiser, all the big brands. They sell, all the digital software, all the programs you need, all the plugins to, get that sound in your head to be the sound on the tape, the sound on the CD. Give them a call, 503-228-2222, Super Digital.
I felt like I wanted to kiss her the moment I saw her.
I kissed him first.
It was the most wonderful kiss of my life.
With 29 dimensions of compatibility, a kiss is not just a kiss. I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. And the folks you just heard were matched through our patented, proven process that goes so much deeper than a picture and a paragraph. Log on today, and if you are a first-time member, you can try eHarmony for 7 days absolutely risk-free. eHarmony.com.
Attention investors, how do you protect yourself against world uncertainty and rising inflation with an investment?